Praise be to God for this wonderful opportunity the Lord has granted to study His living word. And we want to praise God for enabling us as a family to come over here and worship along with you, and that's a great privilege. And you all know that Asaph was a gifted song leader in the temple at Jerusalem. At the same time, God has granted him opportunity to write songs for God's glory. The message for today is based on a psalm composed by Asaph. Psalm 82. Will you please turn to the book of Psalm 82. Let me read this psalm, Psalm 82. A psalm of Asaph. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Shall we humble our hearts again in prayer? This morning, Lord, we come to your glorious presence. We want you to speak to us. And as I stand here, your grace may be granted to me and even on everyone who is sitting here, that we may be encouraged through you and our lives may be sanctified. Offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Some months back, I was hearing this testimony from a believer. I hope this testimony will encourage you as well. This brother was planning to construct a building, own building in the place where we live. And he has been going to the office to get the necessary approvals for building his own home. In spite of constant follow-up, the approval was delayed. All his papers were complete and accurate, and there was no reason why the approval must be objected. The corrupt officials, instead of facilitating the approval for speedy construction, they were delaying it purposefully. But the encouragement is that the brother did not give up. On one day evening, the brother brought this matter as a prayer item in the church meeting, because he believed that God, who is above the local government, will judge and decide the case. And to our astonishment, to everyone's astonishment, the prayer was heard and answered, and the approval came. God did justice, above all understanding. And today, if you travel down that small road in our panchayat, you can see a building under construction reaching the second floor level, standing as a concrete testimony that sovereign God decided the case when it was submitted through prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, this morning you need not give up. You can submit your case of injustice because God is on the throne. He is the sovereign judge. This is a main assurance you and I get when we study this psalm. And we don't know what exactly the kind of injustice song leader Asaph saw or he suffered. But we get the assurance from this psalm that you and I can submit whatever may be your case to the throne of grace because He is the sovereign judge. We read about one incident. If you look at the book of Nehemiah chapter 13, song leaders were not paid by the rulers. That time, we read that the song leaders could not continue and they had to leave and go to the farmland for their sustenance. But we don't know exactly what is the context when Asaph wrote this psalm. But this big picture, dear brothers and sisters, is very clear that there is a place for you to go and kneel down. There is a place where you can run and appeal because the throne of grace and He is the sovereign judge. Look at this challenge. Look at verse 2 of the psalm. You get this challenge very clearly. Did you notice a rhetorical question in verse 2? How long will you judge unjustly? We don't know what is the context, but the challenge given through God's word is how long unjust rulers can continue in their injustice. It cannot continue forever because God is the sovereign judge. And it's a challenge. There is assurance the psalm writer is giving through this scripture. Please look at verse 2. The sovereignty of God in judgment, dear brothers and sisters, is made very clear. Verse 1, we read like this. God takes His stand in His own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. The sovereignty of God above everyone to decide the case, whatever it may be, is very much evident in this verse. For two reasons, because He has the supreme position. Look at verse 1. Did you notice that term? God takes His stand. Taking His stand means it's a very unique position taken by God in the congregation. If you look at in His own congregation or in the midst of the rulers, means God is presiding over. The position of God is very unique. That is what is implied by the term God takes His stand. That means everyone in that room, when all the rulers are assembled, all are reporting to Him. All are subordinate to Him. What a supreme position your God and my God has. And that shows about His authority to judge every case. And again, look at verse 1. Again, we read about His supreme power. He judges in the midst of the rulers. It shows, verse 1 not only shows the supreme position, but also the supreme power. Judges in the midst of the rulers, it gives the sense that Whenever any decision is taken, God has the final say. God has the final authority. He can overrule any judgment made by human rulers. And today we are here to worship such a great God who is on the throne and whose power is supreme and whose position is supreme. The Supreme Court, the topmost court, may be sometimes rejecting your case, but you can wait for the final judgment coming from the throne room of God. This is the assurance the scripture is giving to you and me even today morning. When you struggle with case of injustice, maybe in your own home or in your office or in the place where you work, you have a place to go and plead to the throne of grace where things will be heard and the final judgment will be passed. What a great God we worship even today morning. And if you look at this, we can find this beautifully being worked out in the history of God's people. Did you notice in the book of Esther, chapter 6, 1, the king of that time could not sleep that night? We read in Esther chapter 6 verse 1. Because you know that there was a case of injustice against Mordecai, who was a man who believed in the true God of heaven. And the next day, Mordecai was supposed to be executed. But do you see that that particular night, the king could not sleep? He opened the book of Chronicles. He opened the book of history and started reading it. Very strange, isn't it? That is the sovereign hand of God, because the next day, because of the wickedness of Haman, the ruler just under the king, Mordecai was supposed to be executed. But that night, at the right time, God interfered with the king and his sleep. And he was forced to take the book and read and identify and know about Mordecai more. And finally, dear brothers and sisters, you know what happened. And he was saved from the execution. This is a very clear picture given in the scripture that you have a very safe place to go and plead your case. And the power of God was very evident even in the life of Mordecai when Esther and other people were interceding. God sovereignly worked and interfered with the sleep. And he was forced to read the book of Chronicles. And finally, the person was saved. Dear brothers and sisters, it is wrong to conclude that you don't have a place to submit your case. The best place is to kneel down near the throne of grace, where you are assured that your plea for injustice will be addressed. Because of his sovereign power and also based on his sovereign position. Sometimes you may think that your position is well below. Maybe that professor or the local government official. But count on God's sovereign power and position. And this scripture gives that encouragement that at the time of injustice, you have a place to go and plead your case. If you investigate the remaining verses of this psalm, we can understand a few more things about God, who is the sovereign judge. That is from verses 3 to 8. The first thing we learn is that our sovereign judge is righteous. Again, I would like to read verses 3 and 4. Could you please notice the commands being issued there in verses 3 and 4? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. You can suddenly see a change when we look at these two verses. That means if these two verses stands apart in the psalm. These are the commands being issued through Asaph to the people who are ruling during that time. And dear brothers and sisters, one thing that we can very clearly learn about God, who is the sovereign judge, is that one who is on the throne, sovereign in power and position, is righteous. His righteousness is very clearly evident if you look at these two verses. For example, the neglected ones are taken care of. These are the commands issued by God to the rulers during that time. And various commands of actions we can see there. Vindicate. Do justice. Rescue. Deliver. These are the commands issued. And the prime focus of these commands are for protecting the neglected ones. Those who are weak. Those who are destitute. And normally, these are the people normally oppressed and exploited in our society. But the commands issued very clearly, it speaks about the righteousness of God. How he is righteous to take care of the need of the protected ones. And we all know that the rulers are ministers of God. They are appointed by God. Could you notice that in verse 6? I said, you are gods and all of you are sons of the Most High. This verse is very clearly telling that God has appointed rulers. The rulers are representing God. And we see a very clear evidence of his righteousness when God is commanding the rulers to take care of the neglected ones. At the same time, we understand righteousness of God because the negligent rulers are admonished. Because they are no longer taking care of them. They are showing partiality to the wicked. So this two verses, we learn about the righteousness of God, who is a sovereign judge. There are many places where there could be a person who has supreme power. At the same time, they could be unrighteous. But the picture that is given in the scripture, it speaks about the righteousness of God, who is the judge. And if you look at the life of God's people, we can find many occasions like this. God interfering out of his righteousness when injustice is noticed. For example, if you scan through the life of Jacob, in Genesis chapter 31, we read like this, how his own brother-in-law changed the wages 10 times. For 20 years, Jacob was serving with his brother-in-law without proper payment. But we see the beautiful interference of God. In chapter 31 verse 42, we read like this, that the judgment of God came one particular night. In a dream, God appeared to Laban and told him not to harm Jacob. If you turn to that verse, we can very clearly understand that how God, who is righteous, because here, there in that verse, it is very clearly given in chapter 31, verse 42, that God saw the toil. God saw the afflictions Jacob went through those 20 years. And he did not allow Laban to step further. God acted because he is righteous. Many times you are wondering who sees your pain when you are facing injustice. That verse very clearly teaches that God keeps a record of the pain you go through. And at the right time, the next day when Laban was trying to harm Jacob, God interfered. Isn't this a beautiful news for you and me today? That when I approach the throne of grace, I am approaching someone who is able to evaluate everything in and out. He is righteous. Unrighteousness will be dealt to by the living God. Isn't it a great encouragement, dear brothers and sisters, that the righteousness of God will motivate you to approach him? A normal person will not be able to understand your case. But there it is recorded in Genesis chapter 31, 42. God sees. Jacob was toiling day and night without sleep, taking care of the livestock of Laban. But God saw and he interfered. And he did not allow his child to suffer harm. At the same time, dear brothers and sisters, this verse not only gives a comfort, it gives a very strong warning to you and me this morning time, that you and I cannot neglect God-given duties and responsibilities. Maybe we are not ruling over some place, but God has granted you in his sovereignty some authority. Maybe you are a parent. Maybe you are a husband. Maybe you are an officer in a company. Do you rule righteously? Do you care of your duties as a husband who is considerate to your wife? Do your children complain about unrighteousness in your family? We all have to stand before his judgment seat. And he is righteous. If God is convicting you of any sin, that you have neglected your duties. Many times, personally, I was convicted when I studied this passage. Did I do that properly? Did I take care of my wife when she was sick? Did I extend my hand of help in a righteous way? The scripture is challenging us even to look to the word of God and be refreshed. Understand what duties God has granted you so that you will be pleasing your master. And even the second thing we learn about the judgment of God being the sovereign judge, and that is something which is very thrilling to you and me this morning, that our sovereign judge is coming. He's coming to rule. And we can see that very clearly in the last two verses of this psalm. I would like to read that verse, that is verse 8 of Psalm 82. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. Do you know, dear brothers and sisters, all accounts will be settled one day in a just way. He is coming. And look at the plea made by Asaph. Actually, if you look at that verse, arise means it's a command. How can I command God? is a very strong plea from the depth of my heart. God, please come and rule the earth. And that desperation is coming based on the previous few verses that talks about the pathetic state of affairs we see around. The pathetic state of condition of the human rulers who are governing. The pathetic state of people who are ruling, whom God has appointed. The first one we see is in verse 5. Though they are appointed by God, they are basically sinful. They are unrighteous. They are corrupt. Because the problem is something fundamental. The problem is they are walking in darkness. They do not know. Fundamentally, there is a big problem inside their heart. They do not understand. Even this morning, dear brothers and sisters, do you realize that once upon a time you were like this? Not knowing what you were doing. Living in sin and rebellion. Do you realize how powerful was the grace of God to break you down? To repent and trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation? The light of the gospel came to you and delivered you. So next time when you see a government official who is corrupt, do not become agitated. Understand their basic nature of sin and rebellion caused by hard-heartedness. Only the power of grace has saved you. You are no better than those people, dear brothers and sisters. It's only the power of His grace alone could deliver you from the clutches of sin. If anybody is here yet to know Christ personally, this will be a challenge for you, that you can have a new heart promised by Christ. He is willing to forgive your sins. You can be completely forgiven. And another pathetic state we can find, because of that, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth becomes an unlivable place. Every time when you go out, you are fed up. When you read the newspaper, you are fed up. The earth has become an unlivable place. And moreover, we find that in verse 7, they are mortal beings. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Those rulers are temporal. And they will die and they will pass away. So based on all this context, Asaph is crying out with a deep desperation. God, you come down. The righteous one. The eternal one. The King of Kings. You come and rule of the earth. Is it a vain plea? Asaph is making this plea out of nothing. When we read the book of Psalm chapter 2 verses 6 to 8, we don't have to go and read those things. It is promised that God will send His Son. I have installed my King. He is going to come and rule. He is going to possess all the nations. There will be one government and the government will be upon His shoulders and He is a righteous one. And that is the reason why Asaph is pleading. We are fed up. Look at verse 8 at the end. For it is you who possesses all the nations. That is going to happen in future when Christ is coming. King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is going to come, establish His kingdom, and scripture says you and I will reign with Him. Are you thrilled to know this fact? That the sovereign judge is going to come. And He is going to establish a kingdom completely replacing the human government. Is that your thrill this morning time? That your Savior is coming and you will be ruling with Him? What a great joy it would have given to, if you read the book of Revelation, what a great joy it gave to John the Apostle, a very old man. He was in isolation, in exile, in Patmos. And Revelation chapter 19, it is said a vision King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is coming to rule. And Revelation chapter 22 ends with a beautiful promise of Christ saying, I am coming quickly. And immediately from that desperation, John is crying out, come Lord Jesus. Is this your plea and my plea this morning time? That you have a great hope when you are fed up with injustice everywhere. You see around the righteous and the eternal ruler is going to come and establish his kingdom. And you are going to rule with him eternally. What a great hope and promise the scripture is giving to you and me. Are you fed up with human government? Yes, definitely. And never think that a new face or a new government is going to give you hope. Ultimate hope is only in the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is how the psalm beautifully ends. And so this psalm was teaching to us about God being the sovereign judge. You and I have a place, a comfort to go and rest, where you can plead your case, whatever it may be. I remember a few days back, I got a letter from a believer who is running an orphanage for small kids in a remote place in a village. And it was very shocking to see. The brother has mentioned that the food corporation head of the locality had stopped supply of rice to that orphanage because they are Christians. And immediately we find that brother again citing that, do not worry, let us pray that God will sovereignly work in the heart of that head by his supreme power and authority. Let that be our courage, dear brothers and sisters, even this morning. Let us humble our hearts in prayer. This morning, Lord, when we sit and understand about your position and your character, Lord, we plead that you may come soon. And thank you for again comforting us, knowing that we have a place to submit our case. We pray that through this psalm you have spoken to us, this word may remain in us and may bear fruit in us. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.